Okay, now we're going to do Daf Yud Gimel of Me'ila. We're going to start at the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Bet. Amud Bet. Kol ha'oil ha'mizbeach v'lo lebedek habayit, lebedek habayit v'lo lemizbeach, lo lemizbeach v'lo lebedek habayit, mo'alim ba. They're basically saying anything you sanctify is going to have a din of Me'ila. What are the options? Well, you can sanctify something that's ra'oy for the mizbeach and not for bedek habayit, like an animal, which can only go on the mizbeach, but it can't be used for upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash, right? You're not going to use a sheep to build the walls with. Or lebedek habayit v'lo lemizbeach, or it could be silver, gold, something like that, which is you can be used for building things in the Beit HaMikdash, but can't go on the mizbeach. Or you could have items that are lo lemizbeach v'lo lebedek habayit, that are for neither, okay? Like the glalim we saw, okay? The feces, so you can give it to the Beit HaMikdash, which means basically you're going to sell it and then use the proceeds for the upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash. So all those things have a din of Me'ila. Ketzad, how would this work? So they're going to give some examples. Now, all these examples are going to be that you sanctified something with something in it. Okay, so Higdish bor male mayim. Okay, so you took a bor and it was full of water and you said, I'm sanctifying this. Now, the mayim is ra'oy for bedek habayit. You can make cement with it and other things that you might need in the Mikdash, but right, it's not kedushat mizbeach. Or ashpot maleot zevel. There you have, it's not, so the ashpot and the zevel, right, they're not ra'oy for anything really, but you can sell the zevel. A shovach male yonim. Here you have something that's for kedushat mizbeach. You can use the yonim. Right? There's a dove coat full of birds, doves. Ilam male perot. Here there's a debate. Are the perot ra'oy for the mizbeach or not? Well, you could say theoretically if it's grapes, so they're ra'oy to go on the yei nesach, right, that you would pour on the mizbeach, the wine libations, the nisuch hayayin. Not yei nesach, but the nisuch hayayin. So the ilam male perot. Some people say no, perot, right? I was thinking of those temples. When you go to the Far East and the temples, they bring fruits as offerings to their gods. We don't really do that, right? We don't bring fruits and vegetables and things like that. But, you know, some people say no, perot is not anything that's roi for the mizbeach. Sadem lea savim. Okay, so a field full of grass, that's not roi for the mizbeach. Mo'alim bahem u'bamasha betocha. So if you designated this item and it was full of whatever it was full of, again, whether it's ra'oy for the mizbeach, whether it's ra'oy for bedek habayit, or whether it's not ra'oy for anything, it has kedushat tamim, and you give it to the mizbeach. But, aval im ikdish bor va'achar kach nitmalei mayim. But if you designated a bor and after it got filled with water, like it rained after, or ashpa va'achar kach nitmalei zevel, or shovach va'achar kach nitmalei yonim, or ilam va'achar kach nitmalei perot, or sadeh va'achar kach nitmalei asavim, mo'alim bahem ve'eim mo'alim b'masha betocha. Now here there's a very interesting halacha. Why is this so interesting? Because here we diverge in terms of ownership. Ownership of hekdesh, I'm going to give you two ways of reading this source. Some people assume, why eim mo'alim bo? Because the hekdesh doesn't own it. Why doesn't the hekdesh own it? If I bought a house and there's a boar in the house, or I bought a boar, let's say, I buy a pit. When that pit fills up with water, the water's mine. If you steal it, you have to return it to me, okay? If I have a field and it didn't have fruits and then it grows fruits, right? Of course, you know, they're mine. But when it comes to hekdesh, some people say that's not the case in hekdesh. When it comes to hekdesh, the hekdesh only owns what was there when I was makdish it, and not gidulim and not other things that came, right? You can see there's a distinction here between the peirot and the asavim, which grow in the field, versus things that are external, like water that comes into the bor. Okay, but both are listed here. We're going to see a distinction. Rabbi Yossi is going to make a distinction in a minute. Some people say that's the issue. Other people say, no. The hekdesh owns it just like you would own it. However, when so it's owned by the Beit HaMikdash, but there's no din of me'ila. Me'ila is only what mashikdashti bapeh. Only what I designated with my mouth, and I said, this is hektish. And since there was no grass then, there were no fruits then, there was no water then, all of those things didn't exist when I did it. Therefore, there's no din of me'ila, but they do belong to the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore I can't get hana from them. So there's a big difference between whether they're actually owned by the hektish, and there's no din of me'ila, or maybe they're not even owned by the hektish, and that's why there's no din of me'ila. So there's a big difference of opinion about how to understand this. And then that matters about how, you know, the question, why is it so interesting? Because the question is, when you learn, we all learned in Bava, you know, in the Bavas, and particularly in Bava Batra, about these issues, who owns what when you buy a house. So is hekdesh a whole different world of ownership and rules are different? Or is it the same rules? Just when it comes to me'ila, there's some side issue. So it's very interesting to think about. Rabbi Yossi omer, ha-makdish et ha-sadeh v'ha-ilam mo'alim bahem u'begidu lehem. Okay? when it comes to the Sadeh and the Ilan, I'm going to distinguish. Why? Mipnei Shehen, Gidulei Hekdesh. That's Gidulei Hekdesh, and Gidulei Hekdesh is sanctified, as opposed to the water that came into the boar, or the ashpa that got filled up with garbage, or the yonim that came into the shavach. Those are different because they didn't grow from the item, but when it comes to the field and the tree, that's Gidulim, that's going to have Mi'ilah. Vlad ha-Me'useret. Here we have a fascinating halacha. Okay. A vlad of a behema that became Me'useret, meaning it was the 10th and now it's sanctified. So now what's the problem? Well, the animal sanctified and the milk is sanctified. So what do we say? Lo yinok min ha-Me'useret. Okay, this is, right, this is would be Gidulim of Mi'ilah, right, of Hekdesh. So the its young can't nurse from it, okay, because it's Gidulei Hekdesh, and the young can't nurse from the milk. That's crazy, right? To think that, oh, wow, the young can't nurse from its mother because it's sanctified. Ba'acherim mitnadvim kein. So here, what's fascinating, there's two different interpretations of this, okay? Either, in other words, they're both trying to figure out how do we resolve this situation. So one way of saying this is all one opinion. They can't nurse, and therefore other people, mitnadvim, they volunteer to bring their milk to this young. In other words, we find other animals to nurse the young in order to deal with them. A different way of interpreting it is that there's a different opinion here. Acherim often is mentioned in the Mishnah as there's an alternate opinion. Midnadvim kein. Now here the problem with this interpretation, midnadvim doesn't really make so much sense, but they volunteered maybe a different answer. In other words, maybe you could say volunteered in the sense of chesed here. They felt this was inappropriate and they said kein. The young can actually nurse from their mothers. We make an exception in this case because of the life of the young, and we therefore let him nurse from the mother. So it's interesting that there's two totally different ways of understanding that line. Vlad ha-Mukdashim, this is not only true for the Me'useret, but the same thing is true for a Vlad of an animal that was sanctified for a Korban. Lo yinok min ha-Mukdashim, v'acher mitnadvim kein. And again, you would have it, right, in both ways of interpreting it. Ha-Po'alim lo yochlu min ha-Grogot. Another exception to the rule when it comes to Hekdesh. If you're a worker and you're working in a field, in Dine Mamonot, you're allowed to eat. The Po'alim can eat whatever they want while they're in the field. But if you're working in the field of Hekdesh, you can't take from the Hekdesh. V'chein para mikarshinei Hekdesh. If you remember the law, it's called the pasuk lo tachsom shor b'disho. You can't muzzle the mouth while it's working. You have to let the animal eat while it's working, while it's in the threshing floor. But the para, when it comes to karshinei Hekdesh, you can force, you know, you have to force the para not to eat it because, again, it would be benefiting from Hekdesh. So here again, we see, here's different, right? We see exceptions to the rule, things that work in the world of Dinei Mamonot, of people, when it comes to Hekdesh, here we're actually more machmir. There it was a little bit less machmir, right? We're saying it's only what you were machdish is part of it. But once it's for sure Hekdesh, and in terms of saying what's designated as Hekdesh there, maybe we'll be a little more mekel, and things that came in later wouldn't be Hekdesh, again, according to some opinions. But when it comes to once something is clearly Hekdesh, we can't allow all sorts of things that we allow in non-Hekdesh, we can't allow it in Hekdesh. Okay, Katane. It says in the Mishnah, V'lada mu'useret lo yinak mina mu'useret. Minane mile. Where do we get this from? It's going to be an interesting limud. Amar av achtavoy bar'ami, atya ha'avara ha'avarami b'chor. We learn it from Gzera Shava, from b'chor. Ma b'chor mo'alim bo. Now, a b'chor doesn't have milk or eggs because it's a male. So because a b'chor, there's a din of mi'ilah in the entire animal and anything that's in that animal. Therefore, af chalava mu'useret mo'alim bo. Therefore, we're going to say, since we have a Gzera Shava from b'chor to ma'aser, because both say, talk about havara, we've seen that Gzera Shava many times, right? Kol asher yavor tachat ha'shevet. And va'avarta kol petarechem, by b'chor. So therefore, we're going to say, af chalava mu'useret mo'alim bo. Okay, so from there we learn that the entire animal and anything in it, right? Now, it's interesting. The Gemara didn't say, how do you learn an efshar mishi efshar? We've seen that sometimes where they say, how could you learn something that couldn't possibly be there? They don't say that. Okay. Chalav ha-mukdash nami. So now, where do we learn chalav ha-mukdash? Because we learn chalav ha-museret, we could see Gzera Shava. What about the mukdash? Nami ate imo imo mi b'chor. Both of them say, shmona yamim tachan imo, right? The first 8 days, it's under its, or the first 7 days, it's shivat yamim tachan imo. So both of them have the imo. So therefore, by b'chor we have it, and by hekdesh we have it. And therefore, we're going to say, we learn also from there, from b'chor. Ha-po'alim lo yachlu. My time. Ha-amar rav achtavoy bar-ami, da-amakha, lo tachsom shor b'disho. Disho shalach velo disho shal hekdesh, right? Disho your disho, not, right? Even though really the pshat sounds like shor in its disho, right? But, okay. Hadash kal inim bas sadeh hekdesh ma'al. If you're threshing these kalinim, it's this type of kitniot that you're threshing in the fields, of hektesh ma'al. So you have, there's a din of mi'ila by them. So then they say, v'haba talush bina. In other words, assuming that what they're saying is the sadeh is hektesh, and while you're dash, there's the din of mi'ila here. So they say, how could that be? V'haba talush b'inan. But you need, and the assumption here, again, it's a little hard to understand this case, but it sounds like the kitniot are not hektesh. The field is hektesh. And if you thresh in that field, you're going to be chayv in mi'ila. So the question is, how can you be chayv in mi'ila? Isn't mi'ila only b'talush? Mi'ila isn't using something that's attached to the ground. All you're doing is trampling on the sadeh, but you're not actually using it. So Amar Rav Yehuda Shmamina Avka Malele. He said, you can learn from here. It's the dust that comes up. And here it's a really interesting. They're going so far as to say, if dust comes up from the, what they're assuming is the dust that comes up from the ground, which is detached from the ground, but it comes from the field itself, actually helps the kitniyot. It softens them or does something to them. And because of that, we see it's the avak that you're benefiting from while you thresh, and therefore you can't thresh in a field that was hektesh. You're going to be chayav in mi'ila. Okay. Again, this is a case, the new Mishnah, we're going to have a case that comes up a lot in Bava Batra about roots of my tree that are in my neighbor's field, or the reverse. Okay, so shorshei ilan shel hedyot. If I have shorshim of my tree, habaim b'shel hektesh, but my roots go into the hektesh field. B'shel hektesh shebaim b'shel hedyot, or hektesh roots come into my field. Lo nehenim v'lo mo'alin. Okay, it's, you can't benefit from them, but you also, you're not chayev in mi'ila. Ma'ayan shu yotze mitoch ha-sadeh shel hektesh. If you have a ma'ayan, a stream that goes from a field of hektesh, lo nehenim v'lo mo'alin. You can't benefit from it, but there's no din of mi'ila. Now, this is a little weird. Why can't you benefit? Because the assumption is that a field of hektesh wouldn't include a stream, right? A stream is not a field. The stream is a separate area of the field. But there's an issue of marit ayin. We don't want it to look like I'm benefiting from something in hektesh. So while it's in my property still, or while it's in the field, it's not my property, it's the field of hektesh. While it's in the field, you can't benefit from it. But yatsa chutzla sadeh, but the stream goes out. Even though it, let's say, starts in this field, as long as it's outside the field, then already nehenim mimenu. Hamayim shebakad shel zahav. We're now moving to nisuch hamayim, the water libations. So the water libations, they would take the water from the shiloach and they would put it in first in a kad of zahav. Now that was not considered a kli sharet. If you remember, we talked a few days ago, kicho b'kli. Right? Once it becomes in, it goes into the kli sharet, which is the sanctified, right? It becomes sanctified. So here, first it gets put in this kad of zahav, which is not a kli sharet. From there, we bring it into the mikdash and we put it in its sluchit of zahav. In that sluchit, that is a flask. That flask is a kli sharet. So therefore, hamayim shebakad shel zahav lo nehenim v'lo mo'alim. But nitanam b'tzlochit mo'alim b'hem. But as soon as I put it into the tzlochit, then it has a din of me'ila. In the beginning, it's designated, so therefore I can't benefit from it, but it's not yet sanctified, so it's not me'ila yet. Arava. Okay, they used to put aravot around the mizbeach. Right, that's what we do on the seventh day, right? We have on Hoshana Rabbah. We do with aravot, just to remind us of the arava that they did every day in the Bein HaMikdash. Lo nehenim v'lo mo'alim. Okay, now, aravot, don't ever go into a klei sharet. They never really become sanctified. It's true, we use them in the mikdash, but, so therefore, one can't benefit from them, but there's no din of mi'ila. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer, nohagin ayu az kenim, shenehenim imenu belulavehem. Now, this is an interesting line. Some people say he's disagreeing, and he says, oh, well, you can benefit in one way. There's one way you can benefit. You can. He actually disagrees. You can benefit from them. You can even use them in your lulav, and that's what people would do. But the second option is to say, no, you can use, now it's a little weird why he used the Lashon Nehenim, which sounds like you can be Nehenet, but if you remember, we learned mitzvot lav lehenot nitznu. Mitzvot were not given for hana'ah. Using them in your lulav doesn't mean you benefited from them, because mitzvot aren't, I don't benefit from mitzvot, and therefore you can use it in your lulav, because that's not technically considered hana'ah, and therefore, according to that interpretation, he doesn't actually disagree with that. Okay, the Gemara. Amar Rish Lakish. Ein mo'alim b'kulam, aval mo'alim b'shalosh login. Okay, there's no me'ila in all of these things, but, what does this mean? Rish Lakish says, we'll get back to the nisuch hamayim. The nisuch hamayim used three logim of water, although we're going to see that there's a debate whether you actually had to use three logim of water, or was there no shi'or. So, Rish Lakish says, if you put in the first jug, and we said it's not sanctified, lo nehenim v'lo mo'alim, he says, if you put more than shlosha logim, but if you put exactly shlosha logim, that was the exact amount for the mitzvah, then you would be moal. So now they say, but that doesn't make any sense to say that that's what the Mishnah means, because doesn't the Hakatane Seifa natnu litzluchit mo'alim bahem? Only when you put it in the klei sharet do you have a din of meila. Michlal dereisha filu b'shloshet lugin namilo. It sounds like, since it wasn't in a klei sharet before, there's no din of meila. It doesn't matter how much was it. So therefore, they say what Rish Lakish, we must have misunderstood Rish Lakish. Ela itmar asefa itmar. Rish Lakish didn't mean the first case, in the first shlav, when you put it in the kad of Zahav. He was talking about when you put it in the tzluchit of Zahav, the second one. Itmar mo'alin bahen. Asefa itmar, mo'alin bahem. And then, amar Rish Lakish, when it says mo'alin in the tzluchit, that's only a mo'alim ela b'shlosha login. Meaning, if you put more than shlosha login, since you didn't need all the shlosha login for the mitzvah, there's actually no din of me'ila, because me'ila is only on what's definitely sanctified and what's clear. And here it's not clear, because it's not clear which three login out of the four, let's say, you put in there are going to be used for the nisuch hamayim, and therefore there's no din of me'ila. Rabbi Yochanan amar mo'alim bekulan. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees because he thinks there's no shir, and therefore everything that you put in that shlochit are going to be sanctified, and we'll have a din of me'ila. So now, according to this, lememer dekasava Rish Lakish yesh shiur lamayim. Right? One would assume, it sounds like Rish Lakish is saying, shiur of three login. But he says in a different place that Rish Lakish doesn't say that. V'hatznan, it says in the Mishnah, amar Rabbi Elazar, ha-menasech mechag b'chag b'chutz chayav. If you do nisuch hamayim on Sukkot, outside, remember we started today with shchut echutz, anything that's supposed to go on the mizbeach that you do outside, you're chayav. Right? You're chayav, you have to bring a korban chatat if you did it by accident, karet otherwise. So he says, if you take the water on Sukkot and you pour it outside, you're chayav. Okay? Now, amar Rabbi Yochanan, mishum menachem yotfa'a, Rabbi Elazar, so now Rabbi Yochanan comes to explain it, and he says, in the name of Menachem yotfa'a, Rabbi Elazar b'shitat Rabbi Akiva amar, the fact that he holds, now there's a debate whether nisuch hamayim is a dinda or right or no. So he says, he must hold like Rabbi Akiva, who says, didarish unisacheha, it should say unisacheha, not niskehem, echa nisuch hamayim ve'echa nisuch hayayin, it's plural, right? Ha nisachim shela, right? It's nisachim, plural, which shows the nisuch hamayim and the nisuch hayayin are equal. What's the relevance of this? Well, Amar Rish Lakish, so Rish Lakish says, if you're going to make this comparison, Echad Nisuch HaMayim V'Echad Nisuch HaYayin, then you should make the comparison all the way and say like this, Im HaYayin Shalosh Lugin, Af Mayim Shalosh Lugin. If you're going to make that comparison, you're going to learn it from there, well, you should say then that you learn the Shi'or from there, which sounds like Rish Lakish is saying, there is no Shi'or. Michlal Desavar Rish Lakish, Ein Shi'or LaMayim. So how do they answer this? L'tama DeMenachem Yotfa'a Kamar. Really, Rish Lakish holds there is a shiur. When he argued against him, he was saying, Rabbi Elazar, when he said, Amenasech mechag b'chag b'chutz chayav, he didn't say shlosha login, which sounds like he meant any shiur, which sounds like Rabbi Elazar holds any shiur. And if you think, like Menachem Yotfa'a said, he holds like Rabbi Akiva, who darshan nisachah, nisuch hamayim, nisuch hayayin, and that shows that nisuch hamayim is deoraita, well, if he learned it like that, he should have learned also the shiur, and he didn't learn the shiur, and therefore, not that I disagree with Rabbi Elazar, I just don't think that Rabbi Elazar learned it from Rabbi Akiva. Because if he learned it from Rabbi Akiva, the comparison of the two, he should say the comparison of the two is across the board, even for the shiur. But Rish Lakish himself held it was a shiur to the mayim. He was just talking about, according to what you said, it doesn't make so much sense. Okay, that's it for today. What we'll do, since it's Rosh Hashanah, so we did already the daf of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and after Chag, on the next day, I'll try to do two dapim, and we'll do the daf of the second day of Rosh Hashanah also. And that way we'll cover Yudalad and Tefav on Wednesday.